Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and with me today is Nico. How are you?
Pretty good. Keen to talk all things Greek football. It was a great weekend for me, my clubs, and bring on the midweek fixtures in Europe.
And as we speak, I believe Greg is joining us as well. Just seeing if he's going to boot his mic up so we can. Yeah, it is. Greg, you're here. How are you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, mate. Yeah, it's early in the morning here in the UK, but it's it's still nice to get up early and talk about Greek football first thing. So I'm okay. So we're just going to quickly run through the Super League matches because, guys, there were 7 games today and only 2 of them were wins. All of the rest of them were draws, and a few of them were high scoring draws as well. So we'll start on Saturday with Lamia Offi. Offi took the lead through Dicko, and then Zulis scored just at the beginning of the second half. Then Offi scored again with Gallegos scored in the 66th minute. And then, unfortunately, Gibraltar International, Cypriot International, Andreas Garo scored an own goal in the 74th minute to make it 2-2 between Lamia and Offi. So, exciting start to the weekend there. And I guess it's a bit of a disappointment for Offi, but Lamia have that goal-scoring capability. I know Garlitos is in there and a good player for them, but yeah, a really crazy game to start with, guys. Any quick thoughts on this one?
The key for Lamia this season seems to be this continuity more than anything. They didn't go crazy with wholesale changes over the off season. You look at some of the other clubs that have, and Lamia haven't, and they've started somewhat okay, decent. Another decent result for him. They as you said, they're adding goals to their game. They ended the back end of last season, they ended that quite strongly as well. The way they're going, they're not going to be in any danger of relegation.
Yeah, and like you said, Nico, I think it's good that they've kept that core team together who stayed up. And look, if they could just outscore teams that are around the same quality as them, and obviously you'd a bigger club with regards to Greek football, but in terms of the other clubs they're competing with to stay up, they could very well outscore those teams and maybe stave the drop again. We'll have to see.
Oh, at this rate, I don't think they'll be in any danger. As for their opponents in this one, Offi, they still, it's very, very early days again. They had that good result against Balk a couple of weeks back. Let's see when they play the rest of the big sides in the division. But so far, so good as well for Offi. They'd be relatively pleased with their start.
Next, we move to your boys, Nico Panathinaikos. That thumping 5-0 win away to Panathinaikos. So Bernard with a hat trick, Aitor with a penalty in the 86th minute, and then Magnussen in the 3 minutes of added time scored to make it 5-0 to Panathinaikos. So statement win coming off the back of the international break. And Panathinaikos not looking great. I think that's the second time they've conceded over 4 goals this season. Because they lost to Olympiakos 4-0 as well early on. So, Nico, happy? I'm sure.
You know what? I might shock you with this. I'm happy, but I'm not as happy as what you'd think. Hmm. Performance-wise, I definitely wouldn't say it was 10 out of 10. Far from it. It was more so that our opponents on the day, Panathinaikos, were that poor. More than us being great. We didn't have to get out of second gear. We're going to have much harder tests the next 2 games coming up, both in the midweek and on the Monday night in Greek time. That's when we're going to find out the real Panathinaikos. But they're in severe trouble, Panathinaikos. Good to see, though, Bernard get his hat-trick. Again, he wasn't sensational or anything, but this season, he's in that rhythm. Last season, he started slowly. Lack of preseason, coming from that sort of, the Middle East leagues. And that traditionally happens when you come from the Middle East, you start slowly. And that's what happened with Bernard. But this season, it's everything's falling his way. He's been like a new signing this season. If we had him last season, it would have been very different, the form he's in at the moment. I was also pleased with Ioannidis' performance in this one. Did everything, just lacking the goal. His build-up in the second goal for Bernard was brilliant. We missed a few chances as well. I don't like talking about it, but the officiating in this one was horrendous. There was a really bad call that wasn't given, a penalty that should that wasn't awarded to us. It was like a rugby league tackle, essentially. He's hugging the guy, he's taking him to the ground, and with not even VAR gave it as well. It's crazy. As I said, I don't like talking about it, but when we play the harder sides, I don't want calls like this coming back to bite us in those sort of games.
And believe me, no one does, Nigel, because those results don't just affect those are decisions, sorry, in big games, don't just affect the team that has had the decision given against them. It affects the whole of Greek football because everyone cries, you know, conspiracy with those sort of things. So you want as clear cut a reason for why a decision is given slash not given as possible. But yeah, brilliant result for Panathinaikos, I guess, squad
Result
wise as
was
well.
great,
Yeah.
and we enter the next two games on the back of that on a high now because of that result, especially that scoreline. Also, before we let this game go, great to see Aitor grab his first goal post ACL via the penalty spot.
And just on Bernard quickly, because we spoke about him a little bit last season. He wasn't necessarily bad for you, but I think he was playing out of position a lot, maybe. Was he
He's
playing
gone
more
more
centrally
central
now? Right.
this
Okay.
season, correct.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just think having a full preseason at the club has helped him more than anything.
For sure. Sure. And he'll be massive for you in Europe as well when you do when we do start talking about that later on. I guess now that we can move on to Sunday's
Can I
fixtures.
just quickly
So,
say for Panathinaikos,
go, Greg, go.
I wonder how they feel having sacked Anastasio for the Argentinian that they've got now. I'll just grab his name in a second. But yeah, like Nick was saying, what a terrible start for them. They've actually got, like, it's a half decent team on paper. They've got Capino and Carelis and a few other good players. And they were actually, you know, they were terrible in the playoffs, which I think is what caused cost Anastasio his job. They bought Economou in the back line as well, even though I think he's a little bit 50-50. But you know, they got Tsingaras in the middle as well. You know, Diaz up front. It's a decent team that was actually playing decent football last year. So I obviously didn't see the game, but Nick, you're saying that they were tragic. They got and the new
Magic.
coach, Shura, the Argentinian. He came from Real Sociedad. He hasn't coached in ages. So I think they've made a really poor appointment there, but it might improve in the future.
We'll have to see,
When
Greg.
I said about Lamia sticking with the tried and trusted that continuity with Vokolos, this I was referring to Panathinaikos going the opposite.
Yeah.
That's what I meant earlier. Yeah, it's a mess there.
It's a
It's a
good
shit
point
spot at
because
the moment.
it's a big issue with some of these teams. They sell off coaches so quickly and they just get a new guy in who, you know, pretty much does the same or worse job, and then it's just the merry-go-round continues.
Also, with Panathinaikos in this one, they played with a back three. So three centre backs, and they still shipped five
Yeah.
goals, and it could have easily have been
Yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Must have
And
left them all
they've got big
exposed.
investment in them, so they're going to be looking for someone's head's going to roll soon if this doesn't improve because they had a big investment put into them recently.
Yes, I forgot about that. And obviously, they must have big aspirations to make them, you know, a solid Super League side and maybe push them further. Who knows? But yeah, it's a big disappointment for them. Like you said, Greg, I think a mixture of things have affected them this season with the hangover of last season, the change of managers, and maybe those players just haven't gelled as quickly as they would have liked them to. So you know they're going to be in trouble if they continue to ship goals like this. So now we can go to the Sunday fixtures. So first up, another surprise, surprise, guys, another draw, two all. Asteras hosted Bas Yanina. Bas Yanina actually took the lead through Zimas in the 16th minute. Then Alvarez scored 5 minutes later, just before. Bas Yanina took the lead again through Balan in the 28th minute, so 7 minutes after that. And then just before half time, Regis scored in the 3 minutes of with 3 minutes of added time to make it 2-2 to Asteras and Bas Yanina. So another exciting game between two kind of best the rest teams in the Super League, I guess, guys.
Yeah, it's been hard to grab highlights and watch decent things on these games lately. So it's hard to get a real grasp on it without watching it. But yeah, like you said, the expected result, two teams trying to improve from last year. They both had underperforming seasons. So see what's to come of them going forward.
And Nigel, any quick thoughts on this one?
More so on bus. I mean, they're gonna take points off the big boys, I think, this season. They're gonna be strong. They've always been traditionally strong, and I think this season no different. They've shown that the early opening month.
Sure. Next, biggest draw of the weekend for all between Gifisia and Ben Saragossa, the two promoted sides scored 8 goals in this game. It's unbelievable. See, this is what Greg's. I agree with you, Greg. I wish highlights were easy to forget because I would have loved to have, either watch this game or watch the highlights because it's an absolutely ridiculous game. I don't think I've seen a 4-all draw in a while in the Super League. I could be wrong. So first.
Gifisia on their Facebook had some of the goals.
Right, I'm going to definitely check that out after we finish recording. Delianidis scored in the 4th minute, and then Stagos scored to make it 2-0 to Bansaraygos. And then Bergstrom made it 3-0 in the 22nd minute. And just before half time, Hayek for Bansaraygos got sent off in the 43rd minute. And then the comeback came from Gifisia. So Constanta Gopoulos scored in the 56th minute, and then Oscovich scored in the 72nd minute. And then Alberto Botia, former Olympiacos centre back, actually scored an own goal for to give Bansaraygos a 4-2 lead. Then in the 96th minute of added time, Tete scored in the it scored to make it 3-4, and then Botia, villain turned hero, scored again, but for his club this time to make it 4-4. So unbelievable game. Unreal game. 20 shots from Gifisia, by the way. 20 shots. I mean, it's so ridiculous. This is a great. I definitely want to watch this one. And I mean, that's you can't get much better from a potential relegation 6-pointer kind of match against two sides that need to try and stay up. So amazing fixture. That sounds absolutely crazy. Do you think the quality of the Super League early doors, guys, is better than last season? Because we're getting a lot of high scoring draws. Do you think that's a sign of quality being better, or do you think it's because the quality is worse? Because that we have seen a lot of these smaller sides bring in better quality players in theory. So you do
No,
wonder if
the
it's,
teams,
yeah, you do
yeah,
wonder if it's the team
the teams
better.
are set up. They've got some good lineups, man. Even like if you see, I watched them against Bulk, and they were actually quite impressive. You know who I was really impressed by? Masuras, the right back, and I believe he is the brother of Masuras at Olympiacos. He's a great player. So, and they've got Barbosa there as well. They're a really good team. I saw the halftime update, and I thought, okay, Panserraikos, who I've been curious about, given they play at Aiken, and I've seen them in the other some of the other games they've played, and they've been in attack. They're really structured and they're quite good. So I thought they had the game. I was surprised to see them have such a lead because every time I've seen Kvitsia so far, I've been impressed. And then I saw the end, the 4-all draw. I just thought, wow, what a game that would have been. Look, I really think I think maybe everyone's realized, after last season, after the gap in difference between the top five teams versus the rest. I think the other guys have realized, look, they're not going to be able to continue with the quality of teams they had or the quality of football they played last year. So it's time to lift it up a gear.
Yeah, and on that, Greg, I mean, when Bansaraygos played Olympiacos in the first game of the season, they took the game to us, even though we're a vastly superior side, and it took a lot for us to score against them, and they even had a penalty to catch us that they missed. So like you said, these teams just have less fear, and they're not maybe if even if they set up to initially try and contain these bigger teams, they're actually trying to counter attack a lot better. And yeah, it's just I hope we see more games like this because it's really exciting to see. Even though there's loads of draws, they're not all nil nils or kind of like or really really poor boring games. These look like exciting matches for like the neutral to watch. But speaking of nil nils, in the Thessaloniki derby, Balk nil nil with Aris at Tumba. So a bore draw. I mean, I don't know how exciting this game was. I didn't manage to catch this one, but if you guys did, yeah, I guess improvement for Aris because they've had a poor start to the season to get a nick a point off of their rivals. Balk, not a good result in the grand scheme of things for them. So guys, tell me, was a draw the fair result for these two?
It was a pretty metrio game, as we say in Greek. It wasn't very exciting. Look, probably Balk was definitely a little bit better. They did have a goal disallowed. Now, I've reviewed that goal, and I know there's been a lot of contention about it. But the guy who sets up the goal, I think it's let me just have a quick look. No, he's not there. Look, I think it's I think it was Thomas. I'm not sure, but the guy who sets up the goal is offside. He comes from an offside position. So I know there's some Bog fans claiming that a goal was disallowed that should have stuck. He was offside. Simple as that. There was a penalty claim which has probably got more merit to it, where the other player handballed in the box that could have potentially been given a penalty. Look, I think there's been a bit of overreaction on this one. Pretty odd. It was a very medium game. Wasn't fantastic. Bulk was probably better overall. Artists did play their counter-attacking game quite well, and whilst not really, they didn't really put too much pressure on them. Bulk wasn't good enough to ultimately get a good winner and take the win.
This is what holds Bulk back to the rest of the big three. It's these sort of games where they drop points, and at the end of the season, they wonder why they're going to be 5, 10 points off the top. This is why.
Yeah, disappointing result. I mean, and then on the Addis front, like I said, they haven't had the best start to the season. But I guess this is a good result for them in the sense that, like I said, taking points from a rival who are title challengers is a good thing. Let me just quickly look at their fixtures because I don't know how difficult their fixtures are, but then they'd be making a meat of the fixtures, you'd say. Okay, they face Kifishia, and then they face Panzaragos, both of whom scored 4 goals in the last game. So none of these games are necessarily as easy as they might look on paper. So I guess it's a
Well, they
good it's a
play then. Don't they play
sorry.
Panathinaikos next?
Let me just double check. I might have misread. But like yeah, I mean I'm looking at, Greg, I'm still half asleep. I'm looking at the wrong things. They play Panathinaikos, then they play Olympiakos. My mistake, apologies. So yeah, like still, you do, the, these get there's no guarantee with Aris early in the season. So it's a good. I guess I would say it's a better result for them than it is for Balk, personally.
It is, and look, they were on the pre-match interviews. Though their players were pretty, they were pretty happy with her, though, and talking a lot about the direction that Mangios has taken them. And look, he's only just gotten there as well. So they've, done the typical artists. They've sacked their coach early on, got a new coach in, as per usual. A thousand different players, which they're just terrible at. And I think it's a bit of a shame a club as big as artists is managed the way they are, because the amount of players that they let go and bring in every season. Most, foreigners as well is just absolutely ridiculous. So we'll see what type of continuity and stability Mangios can bring to them, and what type of approach they want to look at in the future with how they go about season to season. Once again, they didn't have a Greek in their lineup as usual, and there's what they had two Greeks in the whole squad, Christodoropoulos and the reserve goalkeeper. So they're a team of foreigners. Who haven't set the world alight just yet.
I guess before we go to the big one, guys, I will talk about Monday night's game. So Adromitos drew 1-1, another draw, surprise, surprise, with Volos. Angielski scored in the 36th minute. And then 10 minutes later, sorry, not 10 minutes later, at the very beginning of the second half, Acevedo scored an own goal to make it 1-1. And yeah, so Adromitos get. Is that their first point of the season? It is. That is their first
Yeah.
point of the season.
The thing is, though, the draw does nothing for both sides.
No.
Volos have been very poor to start the season. They've gone backwards this season. And the
Yeah,
pressure is going
absolutely.
to only intensify on Chris Coleman from here.
For sure. For sure. And like, yeah, I mean, but both teams will be disappointed with that, as you said, Nico. And I'm not too sure what's going to happen to Chris Coleman. I don't know how much longer he'll stay. I mean, if George were on, he'd probably predict him to get sacked, and then 24 hours later he would be out the door. So we'll have to see. They play Offaly next. They travel to Crete, so good luck.
Hard game.
Yeah, very tough
Yeah.
game. Very tough game for them. Now the bigger one, the Athens derby. AEK hosted Olympiakos at Hagia Sophia, and to begin with, AEK were the better team, Greg. I'm sure you'll agree. And they
Stephen, you
deserved
just
it.
called it the Athens Derby.
Oh God, don't start with me,
You guys
Greg.
are from Piraeus, man.
Oh my God, Greg, don't start. Remember, don't start. Wasn't there someone who was trying to convince us that Ayik weren't from Athens or something? Someone said Ayik
Ah, yeah,
as well.
that knob head on Twitter.
You know
The
what, Greg?
Ayik
How
Athanasakos
about
Koskinen's on an opinion, baby.
let's just make everyone happy and upset at the same time. This derby isn't even a Greek derby. It's just a football match. It doesn't mean anything.
Big Greek derby is what it is.
Exactly. Anyway, I'd say Greg were the better team in the first half an hour, and they deserved their lead through Ezekiel Pons, who scored in the 22nd minute. But after that, it woke Olympiacos up because for some reason we walked into the game sleeping. A great little chip from Podence, who made his second debut for the club, found the flying header of Ayoub El Kabi, who scored in the 38th minute. And both teams had some decent enough chances. There was the goal that was scored by you guys, Greg, but I rightfully called off because of a handball in the build up to the goal itself. And I'd say, from an Olympiacos perspective, a draw is not a bad result for us. And I think generally it's probably the correct result for both teams.
Yeah, look, we started off like a house on fire and, got the lead, which was great. We had the penalty appeal, which when I first saw it, I thought it was 100% penalty on Elias and Orota, but I could see why it wasn't a penalty for Onrota because it was a dive. Maybe could have been a penalty given on the challenge on Eliasson, but it is what it is. We were all, we just dominated for 23 minutes at the start. We got the goal from Ponce, who did the one thing he did all game was that goal. He didn't really do anything else. But I was shocked. We just stopped playing football after that, and just allowed you guys to completely get back in the game. The formation you guys had versus what we were playing allowed you guys. You said I believe it was a 4-3-3, even though that I'm using is showing a 5-2-3-1. But you guys definitely had a bit of room to run in the midfield there. And created a lot of space. So we were all over you guys until the goal. Totally let you guys back in it. And then the goal was just, in terms of defending from the AEK perspective, I thought was dreadful. Really allowed for Thorny's pundits and that just to do what they wanted to. So grab the equalizer. And then second half, I think, was a pretty even match all around. I think AEK probably was just a little bit more dangerous in front of goal, but Paskalakis made a couple of massive saves in the first half. The save on Mokmadi, and then there was another save he made from someone in the second half, which just it's skipping my thought right now. And then we had, and after that, it was just it was just a constant battle up and down from both teams. You could kind of see it was going to end in a draw at a certain point. We brought on a gentleman, I think, well, there was a big talking point for Ajax. We brought a substitute on by the name of Zini, who is an Angolan international who we brought in last year for our B team. And he really brought in some energy and spark, nearly scored a spectacular winner as well. So that was really good to see him on there. We've been quite critical on some of our acquisitions in top of Greek talent. But, credit to him, he came on, did really well. Overall, definitely a fair result, probably disappointed. How we dropped the amount of drop off we did after we scored that goal, because I thought we had you guys under control, which had just trapped in there. Obviously, it was a matter of time how long we're going to be able to play with so much intensity. But to drop off like that and allow Olympiacos just to play their game for the rest of that first half and get the equalizer was poor on our end. So, yeah. And also, got to say, pretty disappointed in Ponce, bringing him back. I think he's been really hasn't been anything special. And Van Vert just gets no game time at AEK anymore, as well. So I would have loved to have seen Van Vert come on and replace him instead of Araujo come on, who can make things happen. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and I guess from the Olympiacos perspective, like I said, it was frustrating to see us not play, do anything before we conceded. And we saw it coming with the amount of chance you were getting. Paskalakis, like you said, Greg, was absolutely brilliant with some of the saves that he made. And it would have been more early doors if it wasn't for him. So when we did concede, I think it took a slight deflection from one of our defenders. So it was a little bit unfortunate. But at the end of the day, Ike were good for. Fully deserved to be ahead at that point. And then we did well to come back, and it showed strong mentality from us. And it's the first big challenge we've had as a full strength team, because obviously we played Genk in the early stages of the qualifiers for the Europa League, which will have been a tough opponent. But this is Olympiacos, the supposedly the finished article now for after the summer transfer window. So these players still need time to fully gel. And so I posed a good challenge. And away at Ayia Sofia is never easy. You know, I know our record against you guys, Greg, away from home is actually pretty good in the league, but it's still not an easy place to go to. And El Kabi looks like the El Arabi replacement we've needed for a couple of seasons, perhaps. And it seemed like Diego Martinez off to the 70th minute really wanted to slow the game down from us, because it looked we kind of gave you guys a lot more of the ball after the 70th minute, and we made a few substitutes. Maybe that was because of one eye on the Europa League.
I thought your substitutes, slowed you guys down. You didn't seem anywhere near as dangerous until the substitutes came on.
Yeah, like Scarpa came on, he didn't look amazing. Biel came on, he looked okay. I actually would have liked Ortega to start over Guinea, but for some reason, maybe Martinez wanted a more experienced player at left back. But I'm sure Ortega will take that place fully as the season progresses, and I'm sure he'll start. I'd be surprised if he didn't start against Freiburg, but we'll have to see. A lot of people are kind of jumping on Freier for some reason. He's just, I think sometimes people pick a player and just kind of target him as a reason why a result comes the way it does. He's not a bad player. I can see why people see him as a limited player, but I don't think he's doing anything especially offensive yet. But look, I'm willing to be proved wrong, and hopefully he doesn't have an absolute gaffe in an important game, because that would be really upsetting to me. But yeah, it was a decent performance from Olympiacos, and it was a good result for both sides. And you know what, Greg? I don't know if maybe you disagree with me. I actually thought this was a really good quality game as far as Greek football goes, because the season before last, the derbies were horrible. They were rubbish to watch. There was nothing interesting happening in them. Last season, they started to get a little bit better. And so this derby actually was felt like it was a high quality game. There were loads of good individual players. They're of a good quality. The managers are good. And the style of football both teams try to play are good as well. So I actually thought it was a reasonably good advertisement for Greek football in that sense, because there wasn't any controversial decisions either. The decisions that were made for, like, you know, the cancelled goal and such, it was the right choice. So we didn't, no controversy from it. So it was actually nice to not have anything but the football being the talking point, I guess, in this game.
Yeah, well, it's good when you speak from it from any partial point of view, because of course, you know, that some of the other, you know, other people carry on about other stuff. But yeah, look, it was, I mean, the first half was a tale of two teams, and both played really, really well when it came their way. So I think the second half, maybe at the start a little bit, the tempo dropped a little bit. But you know, after then, there was a lot of up and down football, plenty of room to move in, and it was good.
Yeah. Okay, so that, guys, is the Super League roundup. We go to the table. Olympiacos still top of the Super League with 10 points after four games. Panathinaikos second with 9 points. Offi third with 7 points. And joint third is Balk as well with 7 points. Basyanina, AEK and Lamia all on 5 points. Aris Kifisia and Asteras all on 4 points. Panathinaikos in 11th on 3. And then Volos Panathinaikos on 2 points. And Adromitos rock bottom of the table with 1 point. So, guys, that is the Super League roundup. And what we'll do is, guys, we're not going to look at the games now for this weekend, because there are European fixtures. So we're going to do a second podcast at the end of the week after all of the European games have been played on Thursday night, European time. We'll go through the other Super League matches then, after with the aftermath of Europe. So speaking of,
that, Steven.
Go, Greg.
I just want to quickly say, I do think the second half of the AEK Olympiacos game was affected with Europe in mind, because I just think there was a lot of substitutes made. I mean, that's fair enough, the substitutes made, but the tempo dropping a little bit, I think both teams had a slight eye as well on what's coming up, and even the players. I mean, there's a lot of games coming up for both teams. So that was definitely a factor in there as well.
You know what, Greg, just before you go, because obviously AEK playing the Europa League, quick thoughts on your game against Brighton. Because as you may have seen, Brighton destroyed Man United on the weekend at Old Trafford, which many people enjoyed, myself included. And so, yeah, Greg, I'm really sorry. You couldn't have got a tougher group, I don't think, in this Europa League. So, and Brighton are a really hard start to go to the Amex in Brighton and play them. So, any thoughts on this game quickly?
Look, I'm happy to watch the attacking duels that we come up with. But what worries me for AEK is a lot is our defense against an opponent like Brighton. We've got a slow defense. We don't have, I don't think we've got even left backs, right backs that are of quality for this stage. So I'm really worried about, Brighton is a pretty quick team. They've got some good, fast, strong players. So that worries me a little bit. But it's going to be, I'm looking forward to watch AEK, on an EPL ground and in that type of scene, and being able to spread the ball. And Gacinovic comes back, which is fantastic for us. We really need someone like that. I have a feeling we'll probably see Van Wert play in this game as well, because Garcia is still injured. He won't be able to play in this game. And Van Wert is, he hasn't had many games under his, I mean, he won't be as tired as a lot of our other players. So looking forward to the contest, looking forward to the attacking football that we can put on display. But I am really worried about defense and who we play in the rotation. Vinda is injured, so Mukudi's playing nearly every game, and it'll probably be Mukudi versus Mitoglou, which isn't so bad. But the left back really worries me. Mukamadi for me is, I don't even think he's a, I don't think he's A quality. I mean, even in the Olympiacos game, he put that header on target, which was fantastic. But even after that, a lot of passes straight to Olympiacos. If he comes out and does that in this game, we're in trouble. I'm pretty sure Hagi Safi will start anyway, but even he got caught out in the Antwerp games as well. So, and then you've got Rota or Sidibe on the right. Sidibe, I think I mentioned in a chat, he's 31. I thought the guy was 34, 35. He gets injured all the time. He's not a, he's great. He's good in attack, but he's not super athletic to run up and down. So, defense is my big worry.
Sure. And like we said, they looked amazing on the weekend, Brighton against Manchester United. So
Hopefully, they
this.
played all the cards in that game.
And the thing is, you obviously, this is no disrespect to Ike, and I don't think that. I don't think that a team should do this regardless, but obviously they might play their a rotated team, which might be good for you. But even still, a
Yes.
rotated Brighton is still a strong Brighton. So
Absolutely.
look, best of luck for Ajax in the Europa League. They're going to need it in this group. But you never know; anything is possible in the European competition. So
That's right.
best of luck.
Fingers
And
crossed.
so, Greg, enjoy the game. Enjoy the Europa League while you're in it as well. We'll see how
And good
far.
luck to your guys' teams as well.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll catch you next time.
No worries, Greg. See you later. Okay, Nigo. So now we can move to the well, Panathinaikos actually play first out of all the other teams. They have a slightly earlier fixture. So the first game, Villarreal at Leo to not Leo Forest. I keep making that mistake. At the Olympic Stadium.
Oaka.
Oaxaca, that's it. At the Oaxaca. So tough team. They've had an okay. I mean, they've had an they've had not the best of
Mixed
starts of the season.
bit of
They've
them, yeah. They've underwhelmed a bit domestically.
been a bit
I
mixed.
mean, look, let's call it for what it is. They are the favourites. They're going to be the overwhelming favourites, not only in this game but also for top spot in this group. They are the hardest team in this group. But there's a part of me, in fact, a big part of me, that thinks we're going to get something from this game. As we said, they've started. It's been a mixed start, to say the least. They've had a managerial change. They've lost Nicholas Jackson. They've lost Pau Torres. They haven't been the same really since Emery left them last season. And I know people are saying they've got that European pedigree. They've played in Champions League semi-finals recently, won the Europa League recently. All true. Some players are still there, but a couple of coach. It's a the coach is gone from there from then, and a couple of key players are gone. They're flying on the back of a one day less rest than us, and they're going to have to play in front of a packed Oaxaca. Their last I read, it was like 55,000 tickets had been sold,
Wow.
so we're edging towards another sellout.
And
Not
that's what
quite
you
there yet,
need.
but heading there.
That's what you need, Nigel. You need that 12th man of the all the Panathinaikos fans being there to really create a noise in Oaxaca. So, it's going to be a I think it's going to be a really good first game. And you know what? I don't know if it will happen, but I could see you guys getting a result in this
Oh,
game,
there's
actually.
a
There's a
part of me
chance.
that
There's
thinks
always a
we're going to get
chance.
something.
But
Yeah,
they
there's a
but
part of me that thinks we're going to do it.
They have some good players. They have if
Very good players.
just to list a few
Bueno.
off. Yeah, Pepe Reina, the old boy, another old boy,
That, but,
Albiol.
is it a Bueno?
They've got, let me have a look. They've got Etienne
What's his
Capoue, if
name?
you remember him, Gerard
Yeah, Premier League.
Moreno, Juan Foyth, Ben Brereton-Diaz, Alexander Soloff, Dani Parejo, Alberto Moreno, if you remember him, Francis Coquelin as well. So, and
Yes.
Denis Suarez, who was a former Barcelona player. So yeah, look, it's not the team that it was when they won the Europa League against Manchester United a few years ago, but still a good team on paper, and they'll be a tough one to beat. But Panathinaikos, if you guys have the confidence and the fans behind you, anything's possible.
With Jovanovic there, there's no reason to fear
Exactly.
anyone, especially a team like. Of course, they're the favourites. I will keep saying it and saying it. They are the favourites, but we shouldn't be scared of them.
No,
And
no.
look, we've got to. I'd love to see us get first in this group. Might be a bit tricky. Can be done, but might be a bit tricky. Second, I'd take it right now in a heartbeat. To get second, we'd need 10 points. So you target six points out of six against the Israeli side. You'd beat the French at home and try draw away, which means what I'm trying to get, the point I'm trying to get at here, the games against Villarreal are free hits. Any points you get from these games are bonus points.
Yes, so good luck to Panathinaikos in that game against Villarreal, because also early doors, it's one of your tougher fixtures out the way as well. So, like you said,
Yeah,
it's one of those games
exactly.
where the team should have nothing, feel like they have nothing to lose, and
Oh,
like you.
and if we do get a result, we've started on the front foot, which would hopefully give us the momentum to carry on the remaining five games. As you said, it's the first game, bloody for us in Australia, 2:45 a.m. on a
Oh,
Friday morning, kickoff time.
blimey. Are you going to get up for
Yeah,
that
I'll be
one?
up. Yeah, I will. I'll be
Dedication,
up.
Nico. I respect
Yeah.
that. And look, Jovanovic, I always look back at that season with Apoel, and you have to think if he could get that team to the Champions League quarterfinals, even if it was 10, like over 10 years ago, then they had a budget. Their squad worth was less than 1 million euros. If I, oh sorry, yeah, I think it was less than 1 million euros. Honestly, anything's possible. And he's going to be a good manager for those kind of competitions. Next in the Europa League, and lastly as well in the Europa League, Olympiakos host Freiburg. So I'm doing an article about this, and it will be out on Thursday. It's going to be a tough game because, as we remember last season, Freiburg came to Gariskaki and beat us 3-0. But to be fair, that was a different Olympiakos team back then. Different mentality. No, there was no preparation. Most of the team weren't even eligible to play. Most of our key players, like Cedric Bakambu and James Rodriguez, couldn't play in the Europa League because they'd been registered too late. But this time, Olympiacos has a full squad, full preparations from preseason, and looked convincing in the Europa League qualifiers. I'm quietly confident that we get our revenge. I'm titling this the revenge fixture for us because they embarrassed
This
us
is
last
away.
season. No, we're at home, Nico. We're
This
at
is at
home.
home.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying ours is essentially the free hit against the favourites of the group. Your game is not a free hit. You need a result and probably a win if you want to get second.
Yeah, and even just to get third place, because you don't know what this Serbia, the other Serbian team, Topola is going to do, because they're an unpredictable entity. So you can't leave anything to chance, because we did the same thing last season. We all thought, oh well, if we don't get top two, we'll get past Karabag and finish third. Nope, Karabag absolutely destroyed us in both games. So yeah, Olympiacos do need to win this game ideally to have be in the conversation for top two, but also to just. If we're going to stay in Europe next season, at least get Europa Conference League. Don't finish fourth again in a group that, you know. But I want the team to go out there and try to amend what happened last season, because last season they really did embarrass us, Nico, at home. And I know we had an okay result away, but it didn't mean anything in the end. It took an added time equalizer for us to not win away in Freiburg. So I would love Olympiacos to win this game, and I'm hopeful that we do. I'm really, really hopeful. But even though
We
Freiburg are a tough team.
we've said it lots of times. Half of the battle for our Greek clubs against these sort of opponents in Europe is Freiburg. They're not one of the best teams in Germany. Okay, they're above average in Germany. But the point I'm trying to make here is they're playing Dortmunds, Leverkusens, Bayern Munichs. They're playing those elite sides, the Leipzig, who's come up from nowhere in recent years. they're playing those sides week in, week out. Whereas our Greek clubs, they got to play in Chorafia against the Panetolikoses and Kifisias
Exactly.
and bloody Lamias and Yannines of the world.
Exactly. Well, again, because Olympiakos just played AEK, who's one of the toughest opponents you can play in the Super League, you'd hope that that keeps the level high for when Olympiakos play them. And you know, they like you said, Nicole, they're not one of the historically bigger German sides, but they finished fifth and they had a really good season last year, despite not having an amazing team on paper that would scream out to you, "Oh yeah, this is a really, really
Yeah,
big German side with big players." Like they're a very well-run club. They've had a mixed start to the season. It was, speaking of Dortmund, they lost to them 4-2 on the weekend at home. So yeah,
that's what I'm saying. These clubs that are in these big five leagues, they're battle hardened because they play against good opposition week in, week out.
exactly. So yeah, we'll see with Freiburg. Look, if we want to challenge for top two, we have to win against Freiburg. We have to win both games against Bacher
Yeah, that's right.
Topola, and then West Ham is the free hit for us. If we can beat them at home,
That's
and
right.
it's great. But look, West Ham, we'll get to that when we get to that.
I
But
think, though, for you guys, your group has a clear favorite for the last spot. There's
yeah.
no way you'll finish fourth in that group.
You know what, Nico, I've said these things before,
Nah,
and
nah.
I've always been
No,
stuck.
no chance in
Never
this
say
group.
never, Nico. Olympiakos should and need to beat Topola in both games. That's 100% needs to happen. But look, this Olympiakos team beat Cukaricki, who's better than Topola, as far as I'm
That's right.
aware. So, you know, and beat Genk, who's better than Topola. So I would assume that Olympiakos
That's
win
right.
those two games. But even away in Serbia, you know, when it comes down to it, and when the pressure hits, I've seen Olympiakos lose some against teams they never should lose to, but and by score lines that are embarrassing. So I'm confident, but I'm not going to say anything yet. Once all six games have been played, we'll see what happens. So that's the Europa League done, guys. Next, the Europa Conference League, because Balk go away to Helsinki. And you know what? We said, Nico, that this would be a tough place to go because of the weather. But they've actually got this fixture at a good time because it's still the summer in Europe. So while it's not going to be as hot as somewhere in the UK, where last week it was like in month on Monday last week, it was 30 degrees. It's not going to be that hot, but it's going to be hotter than it would be if they face them in November, for
Oh,
example,
yeah.
or December. So
Balk got very, very, very lucky with this one to get this one out of the way. I think they're going to go up there and win.
yeah, I think so too, because they've played again in the playoffs, in the qualifiers, they've played tougher opponents, you'd say, on paper. And look, I'm not going to act like I know anything about Helsinki. I don't. But I you'd expect Balk to win that kind of game on paper before, and they need to. This is one of the games they do need to get a result from as well, Nick. This isn't a free hit for Balk, because the
No, that's right.
next fixture, they host Frankfurt, and that's a huge game. That's a really tough game. They've caused Olympiakos some problems in the last few years, and they're a very, very good team. So yeah, Balk need to go to Helsinki and get a win. It's as simple as that.
And Bulk haven't got that luxury of if they finish third.
No, they have to finish at least second. And I think we said before that it's very doable in this group, for Balk. You know,
Oh, I think they
Aberdeen.
will.
Yeah, look, Aberdeen are a very historical club in Scotland, but I think with regards to European experience and pedigree, in quotation marks, Balk have more pedigree in Europe than
100%.
Aberdeen. So I'd expect Balk to certainly beat them at home and away, even if they get a draw. I think overall Balk should finish second, and they'd be very unlucky to not finish second. So good luck to Balk. It's good luck in Finland. So yeah, but yeah, I think that's everything, Nico. Unless there's actually there's one last thing. So we'll do a quick Greeks abroad. Why not? Because Pavlidis is on fire for his club, AZ Alkmaar, who also play in the Europa Conference League this week as well. He scored, so in all competitions, Nick, he's got 6 goals, 2 assists. So that's a goal contribution every game he's played. So yeah, really impressive from him, and maybe it was the right decision in the end for him to stay at AZ, because there were loads of links with him to AC Milan, There were links with him elsewhere as well. But he decided to stay at AZ and he's happy there. And if he's happy there and he's scoring, then great. Good on him.
We said it that I think you agreed with me at the time. Well, I was very happy for him to stay put where he is. Good, it's a good club in a good league. He's scoring goals, he's in form. My only bugbear in all this is why doesn't it translate for the ethnic to the ethnic year? That's it.
Yeah, and we
Because
ask this
he
question
goes
every
missing.
time.
He's invisible for the ethnic year.
Yeah, I know. And
Forget goals, he doesn't even get involved. And I get the
no.
supply isn't as strong as probably what it is at club level, but he doesn't help himself either. But
Yeah.
club wise, killing it again as he did last season.
Look, Nick, I mean, it's like we have this conversation every time
Yeah,
we
every time.
talk about Bubbly this. And it's because it's out of frustration though, because obviously we see how good he is for AZ Alkmaar, and then you look at him for the Ethniki and he just doesn't do the same things for them as he does for AZ. But maybe that's, like we've always said, maybe that's the quality of the team that he's with. Or in not in terms of the players compared to the Ethniki, but maybe it's the quality of opportunities he's getting. The quality of opportunities he can get for himself, because international football is different to club football in that respect. But yeah.
No, they're a good side too. I mean, they play in Europe almost year in, year out.
Yeah, and more recently they have, certainly. And they got to the semi-final of the Conference League last season. They
Last season.
narrowly lost out to West Ham. So yeah, it's a shame that he can't translate his form to the Ethniki, but I think we've come to expect this now, unfortunately,
No,
from
that's
him.
right.
The Ethniki, next load of Ethniki fixtures aren't actually that far away, so we'll talk about the Ethniki when we get to that point. But he'll get called up again. He's in good form, and well, I
Yeah.
mean, not that form necessarily matters for Poyet sometimes, without trying not to bash him too much. So yeah, good on Pavlidis. Please score for Greece in October. And now that's everything, I believe. So guys, thank you so much for listening. And we're still very, very close to 10,000 followers on X, as it was, not, well, Twitter, but also X. So please give as many get follow us if you don't already. Send us people to us, send them our way, get them to follow us if they're interested at all in Greek football. And also, please keep supporting the podcast, because we really appreciate all of the feedback we get from you guys and all the support we get as well. And please give us a 5-star review on any podcast platform you listen to us on, because we are literally on everything. And Nigo, thank you so much for joining me today.
Bring on the European fixtures.
Yes, and like I said, we will have a Friday podcast where we do have a look at each of the Greek teams in Europe, and then chat about the Super League fixtures to come afterwards. So thank you guys very much for watching, and we'll catch you on Friday. See you later.